This is Ozarks at Large, the final Friday of August 2013. I'm joined now on the phone by Michael Tilley, who is the editor and publisher of the City Wire that covers business, politics, culture, and more for the entire region. And a good Friday to you.
Good Friday to you, and go Hogs.
Oh, that's right. Tomorrow the season opens against Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, new era under a new coach.
That's right. Speaking of new, we have new jobless rates numbers and some slight upticks in the latest when compared to the previous month, but slightly down in some instances when compared year to year.
Right. It's also a shift from what we normally see. The jobless rate increased in Northwest Arkansas, and it fell in the Fort Smith area. However, the rates, as we've talked before, the rates can be deceiving. The number of employed continues to grow in Northwest Arkansas, and the market or the labor force continues to grow. It's just a function in Fort Smith of the employment and unemployment shift not being as great. But what we're seeing in Northwest Arkansas continues to be just a sign of a healthy economy. I think the shift upward from 5.7 to 5.9% from June to July. Again, it was just the labor force grew a little faster than the employment. Neither of those are necessarily a bad problem, but the July rate was also 6.2 below the 6.2% in July 2012 in Northwest Arkansas. So that was a good sign. But in Fort Smith, we'll take the positive where we can get it. I mean, it's moving in the right direction. If the Fort Smith area, though, they just need to get that that employment up. The metro employment was a little higher than it was higher than July 2012, but it was below the June employment. So year to year we did well, but we backslid a little bit compared to June. And what we're seeing, we had in the report on the CityWire, we're seeing some of the effects of this persistent unemployment in Fort Smith. It's the 55th consecutive month the jobless rate's been at or above 7%. One of those examples is the River Valley Regional Food Bank set an all-time high for food distribution in July. They placed just short of 1 million pounds of food with its 217 member agencies. So, again, persistent unemployment does have an impact.
The political landscape shifted yet again. We've been talking about the 2014 election season more in 2013 than I thought we might even in 2014, but now there is one fewer candidate for the 4th District Congressional GOP nomination. Lieutenant Governor Dar has removed himself from the race.
Yes, and I know you visit with Roby Brock at Little Rock quite a bit, and we were talking last night about we think we're just going to get one of those big wheels that you spin on a board and put, like, candidate steps out, or candidate gets caught with bad finances, or candidate gets caught in an affair, and just spin it every day and see what the story could be, because it's what it seems like it is. But Lieutenant Governor Mark Dar has dropped out of the 4th Congressional District race, and he's been in it less than a month. But this follows Matt Campbell, a blogger with the Blue Hog Report, who's just been dogging Dar and Mark Martin over their reporting. And he found some serious discrepancies and Dar's campaign finance reports related to his campaign from his lieutenant governor campaign. And so Dar's had to self-report a few items, and he says he's in the process of amending his campaign expenditures. But, Senator Paul Bookout, a Democrat over Northeast Arkansas, recently resigned for some similar things. So we'll see. It may not be over for Dar. Just getting out of the race may not cause this issue to go away.
Well, and Lieutenant Governor Dar said the reason he was getting out was family.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned that Matt Campbell from a blog was the one who had kind of dogged him. Former State Senator Bookout's financial irregularities were pointed out by a blogger, a sort of activist. This is a new sort of territory.
Well, and I love it. I'm a big fan of this. And we had the traditional media for a long time, and folks like the City Wire and Roby's Talk Business and Matt Campbell. We had the traditional media saying, "Gosh, those online guys aren't real journalists. It's us traditional media folks. We're the real watchdogs, and you're going to miss us when we're gone." Well, like you said, it was Matt Campbell, and I think the gentleman's name, Mr. Hester, over in Jonesboro, pointed out Mr. Brookout's problems. A couple of years ago, the City Wire, we found Representative Denny Altus had collected too much money from a person in the primary. You know, the limit's $2,000 per election, and Altus had to give back some money. So, yeah, it's nice to see the system work. That being said, it shouldn't be up to us. I mean, the Arkansas Ethics Commission or some other Secretary of State's office, somebody else ought to be catching this. And there's too much slipping through, and hopefully some of the proposed ideas to catch this will catch on and be implemented.
Let me just extend this in sort of a inside baseball conversation for a moment. You mentioned you and Roby. There are others who watch politics who come from the old journalism model of, you know, you're not coming from an ideological pursuit. But both of the people who kind of investigated former Senator Brookout and Lieutenant Governor Darr do kind of wear an ideological position on their sleeve. Does that should we take any notice of that?
Yes, we should take notice, and we should be careful about that. But, you know, it's what Roby and I judge is not, you know, who gathered the evidence or who proposed the allegations, but what the facts are. What facts did they find? What's the information? Then we'll look at that. I can tell you when Matt Campbell and a few others came out and were starting to really get after Mark Darr, Roby, to his credit, pulled back and said, let's look at all the constitutional officers and let's look at their campaign finance report. That's what we're looking at. And that's when Roby and Jason Tolbert and some others then said, okay, well, they're, you know, for example, Governor Beebe was clean, but they found a few other things that have been cleaned, that are being cleaned up. And, you know, that's, again, it's yes, you have to take into account who is bringing the information forward, but ultimately you have to look at the facts and see where they lead you.
The word ultimately has rarely been used for the concept of I-49. It's been discussed really since close to when you and I became legal adults, and it continues to be discussed.
Well, and we had Thursday, we had representatives from Missouri, Arkansas, and Louisiana in Fort Smith, or really in Barling at the Arkansas Highway Department headquarters there, and talking about what they've done to date. You know, Randy Orr with the Arkansas Highway Department was there to talk about toll road studies and talk about what's needed for the Bella Vista bypass. And it was just an update. This I-49 coalition, they've been around off and on for years, and I guess they're back on again. I have some concerns about the on-again, off-again status, but whatever it is, let's hope that they and others can get this moving. Representative David Whitaker, a Democrat there from Fayetteville, talked about, you know, we need to find whatever we can do to get this moving at an accelerated rate to get, you know, this interstate through Arkansas, through the western corridor of Arkansas as soon as possible. He had this one gentleman, Guard Way, talking about he's predicting that the Arkansas portion could be complete in 10 years. And I'd love to believe that. I'd love to get on that 10-year bandwagon. But one of the big problems with I-49, it's not a problem, it's an obstacle, and it's a physical obstacle, and it's the Arkansas River. That river
it's bridge. Not going anywhere.
No, and they're not going to move it. But the river bridge, the estimates, I mean, depending on who you want to believe, can range from $200 to $400 million just for that short segment over the Arkansas River there east of Fort Smith. So now the option, other folks will say, well, you can build it up to the river and then people just get on 540 route around to Alma. But, well, that's not entirely the convenience that's needed for a true route that stretches from literally the Gulf Coast up to Canada.
Safe to say you and I will have another I-49 conversation between now and the future?
Yeah, and I think we'll probably be talking to our grandkids about how we used to, we're still trying to get that thing built.
All right. Quickly, a prediction on this weekend's football game?
I think the Hogs will win. I'm afraid, though, it will be closer than what any of us want.
Okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with some high drama.
Well, okay.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire that covers business, politics, culture, and more. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Good talking to you.